new series, like I said, it's titled Responses to a Savior. The first thing I want you guys to think about here is a paradigm shift. Anybody ever heard of a paradigm shift before? Interesting. I actually didn't hear about it until I was in college, so it may not be something that's well talked about. A paradigm shift is when you have some kind of major event in your life, or some kind of new kind of knowledge that got discovered that changes the way you think about something. So a paradigm shift could be an example like maybe you were living a life very selfishly, all about yourself, and then maybe you got in a near-death situation, bad accident, and it made you reconsider, like, that life is short, I need to live a little bit differently here, and be more kind to people and stuff like that. So a paradigm shift can be any kind of event or any kind of, like, new knowledge that occurs that makes you reconsider something. That makes sense? So what you're going to see is after Jesus raises from the dead, there's a paradigm shift that begins to take place across the people in Rome. So the people in Rome that crucified Jesus, they're like, oh yeah, that guy was fake. You know, he wasn't the real Messiah. He wasn't the Savior. But after they learned that he rose from the dead, and after what we call Pentecost takes place, a lot of these people begin to have a paradigm shift to say, wait a second, he is the Savior. We missed it. We made a mistake. And they begin to live differently. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start going through the events in the Bible after the resurrection of Jesus in order. Now, what a lot of people don't know is if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, after John, if you just start reading through the books, it's not 100% in order, historically. So, for instance, like, there might be a section in Acts and a section in, like, 1 Corinthians that may be in order, and then, like, it goes to the rest of Acts or something. The books of the Bible aren't necessarily in historical order. Does that make sense? How they happen? So if you're not careful, if you read the Bible after the resurrection of Jesus, it may skip around a little bit. And there's a reason because of that. Because originally the Bible that we know today, it didn't have books. It didn't have verses. It didn't have chapters. Now, you might know what originally the Bible was. It was scrolls, and more so, what were like individual parts of the Bible called? They were letters to people, basically. And so, for instance, if you look at the book of like Corinthians, it was like letters to the church in Corinth. So Paul wrote letters to the church in Corinth, and then over time, they compiled all these letters and made what we know as like 1st and 2nd Corinthians today. And then they put chapters in there and verses to help us in America and people across the world kind of better read it and understand it. They kind of broke it up for us a little bit. But originally it was all like one big letter or multiple letters, and then over time they put those together. So that's why when you look at the Bible today and just read it kind of straight through, it's not all in order by historical date because some letters are written after others, if that makes sense. So what we're going to look at today is an Acts, though. And Acts chapter 2 is one of the biggest events in the Bible that takes place after the resurrection of Jesus, and it's called Pentecost, okay? Anybody have heard of that before? All right. That's good. So I'm going to read it off to you guys. We're going to dive in a little bit here. So Acts chapter 2, it says, starting in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. This is talking about the disciples that were there. And they were in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the first part here in Acts chapter 2, it talks about how the disciples were all in one room together, and then all of a sudden, the sound comes in like a rushing wind, and basically fire from heaven, it says, comes down, and they start speaking in different languages, which would be a pretty nutty event if you were there. What's significant about this is, now I'm going to hold it for a second.
You just have the cup now, apparently.
What's significant about this event is, and you think about the Last Supper, So the last main event that Jesus had with his followers, it was basically in a room by themselves. They were breaking bread, drinking wine, that represented the blood and the body of Jesus. And then after that, the next day, Jesus goes to be crucified. And so now the disciples are all back together again in the same kind of upper room type scene. And you're about to see again a really holy event take place. What I want you guys to think about is this. What disciple betrayed Jesus? Judas. So if you go back and read, we're not going to study that part tonight just because it takes a little while. It's not necessarily tied to Pentecost. But Judas gets kicked out the group because he betrayed Jesus. He's basically at this point, he's living for the Romans, and so he doesn't want anything to do with Christianity. Well, he did that and he killed himself, yes. And so Judas is gone, okay, from the group. So the disciples actually replaced him with another guy. A lot of people don't know that. They replaced him with a guy named Matthias. And Matthias becomes basically the 12th disciple. And so as the disciples now are in this room together, it's the 11 disciples and Matthias. Kind of interesting. Another person's kind of taking Judas' place. So in this room, though, when they're all together, they have this sound that comes in like a rushing wind. What's important about that is, like, back in the Bible, wind was very much like a parallel to, like, the Spirit. So they use that term in the Bible a lot to kind of represent a spirit coming in. And it came in like a rushing wind, meaning like the Spirit was a very powerful spirit that came upon these people. It also talks about fire, and it says here, I want you guys to think about this, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. So tongues as of fire, their tongue is probably not literally on fire, but it kind of had the resemblance of something like that. Why do you guys think fire would be important?
It's the first thing man created, wasn't it? It's one of the first things that they discovered was fire.
That's true. That is a good, yes, that's a good point. What else do you guys think? What else might lead to that? What does fire do to the
thing?
You put all these things together. In the Bible, God uses fire sometimes to destroy, but he also uses fire to cleanse things. So you think about this, a lot of times, if you burn something, it takes away all the toxins and all the bad things in it. You think about food, like when you put food in the oven, you burn the food, you don't burn it, like literally burn it, but you put fire behind it, and it takes out all the bad stuff so it's edible. Does that make sense? So fire is actually used a lot of times in the Bible as a cleansing kind of reference. And so when it's showing you here, God is showing you the Spirit's coming in, and it's showing you there's something taking place that is cleansing people, and there's a new age coming in. So if you think about this, before Jesus died on the cross, people had sacrifices and things like that to get right with God. Before Jesus died on the cross, he said, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you in my spirit. You guys remember kind of hearing that in the Bible? When he dies and raises from the grave, this is the first kind of appearance of the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples in a really powerful way that's going to change the face of Christianity. And so I want you guys to hear this next part here. When the Spirit comes in, I want you to hear something. This is the crowd's response to this. So I want you guys to put yourself in this position. If you were in the crowd and you were watching this happen, think about how you would react. All of a sudden, like, this massive, like, wind comes in, and then this thing that resembles fire comes in everybody's tongue, and they start speaking different languages. That'd be pretty freaky, okay? Like, even if we're the strongest believers, that'd be a pretty freaky scene to see that. So think about how you would feel. This is what it says. It says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. And they were confused, which makes sense, pretty confused, at what happened. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now listen here, it says, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then others joined in mocking, saying these people are full of new wine. So basically saying these guys are drunk, they are losing their brains right now. And because think about this, if you're in a room like this, we have about 11 people in here, and if all of us started speaking a different language fluently that we had no idea of that language prior to, and other people could interpret it to actually speak that language, that'd be pretty nuts. Okay? And so some people are like, wow, this is a miracle. Other people are saying, you know, these people must be drunk. Something's crazy happening. So then Peter steps in. And he talked about Peter several weeks ago. He was a man that had a really strong faith in Jesus. He doubted several times and he had his moments of low moments. But overall, he became a very faithful disciple of Jesus. And at this point, Peter steps up and says, he raises his voice, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk men, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Basically, they're saying it's early morning. These men can't be drunk. You know, the people that bad at the time don't get drunk early, I guess. And then it says, "For these are not drunk, as you suppose, like it says, only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, anybody hear the prophet Joel before? Oh, nice. Joel is not well known in the Bible, okay? But Joel is in the Old Testament, okay? This was hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth that Peter is going to recite what this prophet said hundreds of years prior to Jesus, okay? And I don't think it's kind of strange. Let's try to focus, okay? So listen, okay? So the prophet Joel says this. "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants." And then it goes on, it says, "And I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then it also says that Peter goes on to say, David, which most of you guys probably know David in the Old Testament, said, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is in my right hand, that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of your life. You have made me full of joy in your presence." And if you think about this, what he's saying here is back in the Old Testament, Joel and David prophesied basically of this event taking place, of the Spirit of God indwelling people and Jesus dying and raising from the grave. And so if you think about that, that's hundreds of years prior to that happening. These men would have had no idea of that unless God revealed it to them. Which is what makes it really awesome to think about that this story has a lot of validity to it. And the event of Jesus raising from the grave was prophesied about hundreds of years before it happened. And then it says here, he goes on to say basically, and it starts in verse 36. It says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So he's talking to the crowd. He's saying that God made Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Savior. So I want you guys to picture something here. You have the 12 disciples right here in this room. And then you have this crowd out here that's kind of watching what's happening. Okay? This crowd was the same crowd, many of them were like religious leaders and things, that advocated for Jesus being crucified. So this crowd that's seeing this happen just a few days prior to this, crucified Jesus. So I want you to think about that, how they would feel seeing the Holy Spirit come upon these men, seeing this miracle happen, knowing that that could only come from God, and then all of a sudden being kind of slapped in the face like, "Oh crap, we were probably wrong about this Jesus." And instead of God calling fire from heaven down and killing them all or something terrible happening, What message is said? Here's what it says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it even says here, Peter said to them, talking about the crowd. So the crowd, a lot of these people are realizing, oh gosh, we were wrong about Jesus. We crucified him, and he was the Savior. We really messed up. And you're probably fearing for your life, or fearing that God's going to punish you tremendously. And Peter says this to them. Peter says, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And now catch this. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So Peter is telling them that even though you crucified Jesus and you advocated for this and you did this horrible, terrible thing, even though you did that, if you just repent of your sins and turn to Jesus, he's going to forgive you as well. Because he loves you that much. And just like how we receive the Holy Spirit just now, you can also receive that same Holy Spirit. And that Spirit will guide you. It will give you joy. It will give you peace. And it will show you the plan that God has for you over time. And that same promise is still true for us today. I want you guys to think about this. The gospel is for all people and for all nations. Back then, they didn't necessarily have racism as in like black or white or Hispanic. It was more so like different groups of people. So like the Gentiles may not get along with this group of people, and this group of people may not get along with the Gentiles. It was kind of separated off by basically sets of people. And different sects of people spoke different languages. So when these men, these disciples, were engulfed by the Holy Spirit, they were prophesying, they were sharing the gospel in the language of those different people. So when the crowd is around them, and these crowds are, some of these people speak different languages, they're hearing the gospel in their actual native tongue. And the reason that's so important in the Bible is it's showing the whole world right there that Jesus didn't come just to die for the Jews. He came to die for all people. And this gospel that Peter believes in, this gospel that John believes in, the Holy Spirit has entered into these men, is also for all of these people too. It's not just for one group of people, it's for all people. And the overarching message as well, is because on their tongues, tongues is a big reference there, and in this, it's talking about how as Christians, if we embody the Holy Spirit, we are called to share that message with all nations as well. Because it would have been common practice back in that time for you just to share the message with those that are around you. So if you're a Jew, you may share it just with the Jews. Or, you know, if you're somebody in a different country, you may just share it with your people group. But God is showing right here, if you're a believer of mine, you're called to share it with all people because this gospel is not just for you, it's for everybody. And that's why it also says, repent and be baptized, all of you. And all is a big word there. And you will all receive forgiveness of your sins. And so, why I think this is so important is this is a major paradigm shift for the people in this time period. Because they were kind of all about their certain group, their religion, their people. And God is breaking that mold right here and saying, what I did on the cross, and he raised it for the grave, isn't just for you, it's not just for you, it's not just for you, it's for every single one of you. And ultimately is to unite you all together in what I've done for you. Because if you all give your life to me, and you all believe in me, and you all start following me, then you work together. And you use your gifts, this person uses their gifts, this person uses their gifts, and you come together and you're better than one. And that's why it says in the Bible that as the body of Christ, if one member is going off a certain way that the rest of the body is not, it causes harm. Because when all of us work together, and we all work together with the same mission, the same goal of honoring Jesus and proclaiming his name, we can do much more minor things than what we can do by ourselves. That makes sense? Because think about this. If you're by yourself trying to reach all people group, you're not going to do it. Because you're going to have certain skill sets that certain people may listen to you that they don't listen to me. And I might have certain skill sets that I can reach certain people that maybe you won't reach as often. You know, you know people that I don't know. I know people you don't know. And so when we all work together with the same mission, the same purpose, we become the body of Christ, we can reach all people groups and all nations, and that's ultimately the call of Christianity. So I want you guys to think about this here as we close tonight. Baptism in the Bible comes from the word baptismo. You might know what that means? Oh, it's funny. It's a cool word to say that. Baptismo. Baptismo means to fully immerse in something. Basically means mostly in water. So the word baptism is derived from that Greek word. And why it's important is when Jesus was baptized and people gave their life to God, they were baptized, they were put in the water, and they came up. Okay, that symbolized basically that you're putting your old life, the life you're living by yourself, outside of Jesus. You're going to put that down, and you're going to start living a life honoring God. So it's saying you're putting your old life to death, and you're raising with this new life in Christ. But what's important here is it says, Jesus is talking about how, or John was saying, I baptize you by water, but Jesus is coming to baptize you by the Holy Spirit. And this is the Holy Spirit. I want you guys to think about something here. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and that you want to live a life now honoring Him, you don't want to live a life opposite of that, when His Holy Spirit comes in, it immerses, it fully covers all of your body. And so all of your mind, your heart, your soul, it fully covers you. And so when you start going out trying to do things, whether it's in your private life, your public life, whether it's in sports, whether it's in different activities, the Holy Spirit's always there for you in every single part of your life. He's not just coming in to save one part of your life or to be there during this season, and then when things get hard, He's going to leave. But He's saying the Holy Spirit's going to come in and immerse you and be fully present for everything you do going forward. And what that also means is that if you're going to truly give your life to Jesus, it means that you give your entire life to Him, not just one part of your life. I want you guys to think about this as we close. A lot of times people, when they give their life to Jesus, or I see that kind of in parentheses, that they say, okay, I believe in Jesus, I believe He died on the cross, I believe He rose from the dead, and I believe the Bible is true, so I think, yeah, I'll be a Christian. But then they have this secret sin, something maybe they do that no one else knows about. They do it privately or behind closed doors, or they're involved in something they shouldn't be involved in. And they're like, you know what, I'm going to still do that though. But then the rest of my life I'll give to Jesus. Well, again, if you want the Holy Spirit to really dwell in your life, and you really want to start seeing God's will, you want to start seeing His plan for your life, and feel His goodness and His love and forgiveness, you have to give all of yourself to God. You have to fully immerse yourself in the Holy Spirit. Meaning that it's not just one piece or this piece, it's all of your life. So whatever that secret sin is, whatever that struggle is, whatever that trial is that you're holding on to, when you release that to God, then you'll start to fully feel His Spirit and His presence within you. And that's what true salvation is. It's not really baptism, it's giving your life to Jesus in full surrender and saying, from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. So I'm going to pause the video and then we'll have like